Our daughter, Jessie, loves playing detective.
A clue.
But since we discovered she has sensitive skin, we've been playing detective, too.
We thought the problem was our puppy.
But it was actually our old detergent.
Aha. Uh-huh.
So we switched to Tide Free and Gentle. Tide cleans better than the leading competitive free detergent, and it doesn't leave behind irritating residues.
Plus, Tide Free and Gentle has no dyes or perfumes, so it's gentle on her skin.
Case closed.
If it's got to be clean, it's got to be Tide Free and Gentle.
And bringing to light the enemies of freedom who are out to steal your rights, your children, and enslaving you.
You really get the truth out. I can tune into your show and hear the unvarnished truth. Thank you.
This is What's Right, What's Left with Pastor Ernie Sanders.
All right. I don't hear any intro.
You're on.
Okay, I'm on already? Okay, well, we're on already. Didn't hear any intro. Welcome to another edition of What's Right, What's Left. I'm Radio Pastor Ernie Sanders, and indeed, this is the voice of the Christian resistance. And we should have tonight here live in the studio with me, I have Aaron Ganias.
Hello, Pastor.
And, of course, our producer tonight is none other than Josh Booth.
Hello.
Okay, and Josh, what is the lady's name that's there?
I believe it's Jacqueline.
Is that you? Well, let's bring her up. We'll get, because she's got basically a prayer request, so we always do those in the beginning of the program. Are you there, Jacqueline?
My name is Antoinette from Philadelphia.
Okay. I'm having a little bit of a time. The volume is kind of low. Can you say that again?
Antoinette from Philadelphia.
All right. I can hear it. Can you hear it?
No, I can't hear it. I don't want to know what's going on. Okay, what did she say?
Antoinette.
Oh, Antoinette.
From Philadelphia.
From Philadelphia. Okay, Antoinette, kind of speak up loud. Tell the folks about your situation, because we'll see if we can get you some help, okay?
Okay. Because I was a calling, because it's been like approximately like 12 years. I was supposed to have the adaptive modification, and that's where they're supposed to put in the walk-in tub with the shower. But what they did was back in 2019, it's called the basic repair system from the Philadelphia Housing Development Corporation. They were supposed to do electrical, plumbing, and heating, and structural, and roofing repairs, like home improvement, and that was not done. And I've been like contacting them, like every day for years, going through the channels of politicians, notifying like local, state, and federal agencies, organizations, and just basically trying to get help from everyone. But it was just like it was going into like deaf ear, and it was like nobody would help me. And it's just to the point where the situation that I'm living in, my home needs to be repaired. And then on top of that, at 2019, when they came out, they took and destroyed my custom tile and marble bathroom. They stole my secure insulated window, my cast iron tub. They took and hammered that into pieces where it took and collapsed from the bathroom floor down into my kitchen floor, which had damaged the kitchen floor. The pipes and everything started leaking, and the pipes are still leaking, and I'm still having trouble.
Have you called your state representative?
Antoinette,
have you called your what was the response?
I wasn't getting, like, any response. It was just like I was just being ignored and then, like, passed on to, like, someone else, and then, you know, like nasty attitudes and being rude. They were being rude, and then I would get, like, you know, disconnected. And then speaking to like different various people that they would like connect me to with different departments. And then
let me,
in 2019,
let me
the same
bring up,
year.
Yeah, let me bring up John McTernan. Big John, are you there?
I am, Pastor Ernie, but her voice is all garbled to me.
I
can't understand anything.
She was that way at first, but now I can hear her loud and clear. So here, do you think the Department of Aging can help her? She's just like one of those people that we were helping before with John Holman. Do you think maybe you're from Pennsylvania? Department of Aging might be able to help her.
I was contacting them as well.
And still nothing.
They were telling me you had to be like 60 and over, and then they had a program where you like under 60. And so I've been contacting all these programs that it kept referring me, well, and nothing was being done.
Well, right now,
and then the house that's adjacent to me
because of the time
collapsed.
All we can do for you right now, because of the time here on the airtime, is John. Would you pray for her? If there's any, do you have a phone number where somebody can contact you?
Yes.
People listening out there, what would your number be?
215-531-0291.
Okay, 215-531-0291. Okay.
Yes, that's correct.
Now there's got to be people there in Philadelphia listening who might be able to help you. Maybe some that might work within a government system there. But John, we're going to ask the folks all across the country to join us and pray for Antoinette here in her situation, because you're handicapped. Is that correct? You can't get out and work.
Yes, I'm a disability with physical and medical disabilities. And it's like 25 years now.
Oh, wow. Okay. John, would you lead in a prayer for her?
Father, we have Antoinette before you. And, Lord, she needs help. She's handicapped. Lord, I look at her as like a widow, Lord. And we know that you give special attention and special blessings to widows. So we're asking in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth that you would move mightily, Lord, and arrange it so that she could be helped and taken care of, Lord, and be provided as needed. Lord, maybe there is a church in the area that could help her, Lord. But whatever it is, we're asking that you would help her and give her great peace in her heart now. In Jesus' name we ask. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Thank you.
Amen, amen, amen. Thank you so very much.
All right, Antoinette, we have to get on with the program now, but God bless, and hopefully folks out there, her number again is 215-531-0291. Somebody there in the Philadelphia area might be able to help her there in Pennsylvania. Give her a call and see if maybe you got some instructions for her. All righty, we have to get into it. We're going to start tonight in Psalm 2. We're going to reread it from yesterday. Go ahead, Aaron. You can go ahead and read Psalm 2, 1 through 12.
Why do the heathen rage and the people imagine a vain thing? The kings of the earth set themselves and the rulers take counsel together against the Lord and against his anointed, saying, let us break their bands asunder and cast away their cords from us. He that sitteth in the heavens shall laugh, the Lord shall have them in derision, then shall he speak unto them in his wrath, and vex them in his sore displeasure. Yet have I set my king upon my holy hill of Zion. I will declare the decree. The Lord hath said unto me, thou art my son, this day have I begotten thee. Ask of me, and I shall give thee the heathen for thine inheritance, and the uttermost parts of the earth for thy possession. Thou shalt break them with a rod of iron, thou shalt dash them in pieces like a potter's vessel. Be wise now, therefore, O ye kings, be instructed, ye judges of the earth. Serve the Lord with fear and rejoice with trembling. Kiss the Son, lest he be angry and ye perish from the way, when his wrath is kindled but a little. Blessed are all they that put their trust in him.
All righty, so here you go. The title of the message was Babylon has fallen, fallen, fallen. We start out by looking at the four examples of Babylon from its start there with Nimrod in the Tower of Babel. And then we saw it hit its zenith with Nebuchadnezzar and the Babylonian Empire, and then the defeat of Nebuchadnezzar, and then Cyrus becoming king. And as John, as you know, there in Israel, they had, when I was there, they had the coins with Cyrus's picture on one side and Donald Trump on the other. And here now, and then we have, we did yesterday, we went over 9/11, and we went to Revelation 18, where it talked about Babylon, Babylon, Babylon. And of course, tonight we're going to be talking about the Babylon that's falling right before our very eyes. Right before our very eyes, we're watching Babylon. We're calling it the deep state. But as you saw, when Vice President Vance today, when he was speaking in Germany, he really laid it out to those people, and you could tell by the looks on the faces of those elite, woke, New World Order politicians there, leaders, they didn't like what Vance had to say. But he was right on. I would say it was an awesome speech. What would you say, John?
I thought it was fantastic, Pastor Ernie. I mean, I really didn't know much about him until he ran for vice president, and he's very articulate, very well spoken, very well poised, and what a message that came across! It was fantastic, and he even mentioned the World Economic Forum. Did you pick that up, Pastor Ernie?
Oh yeah,
yeah.
And so.
What did he say?
Told them, he made a comparison between the communists and communist Russia in the like 1960s and 70s there, and the free West. And he talked about how the communists their elections were all phony, and that they were disinformation, and anybody that spoke the truth would be arrested. And then he actually said, and which is true, the same thing was happening now in Europe. They were becoming like the dictator, the totalitarians that they fought to defeat, Soviet Russia. It was amazing the way his speech was amazing, right to their faces, he told them.
Yeah, he did. Made it very, very clear. And here's one of the things that I've been saying for several years, is that China is not our worst enemy. Russia is not our worst enemy. North Korea is not. It's right here in America as the Democratic Communist Party, right here. And that was the point that he made, is from within. He said, your biggest worry, your biggest enemies is from within, that you self-destruct, okay? And that was because of what you were talking about. I'm going to do some commentary now here. The heathen are raging today. The screamers are out in the streets. That unclean, wicked women. When we take a look at that rebellious old woman, Maxine Waters, has crawled out from her witch's den, and she's joined out there with an unclean, nasty old man, Chuckie Schumer. These people are using, they're dropping, they're cussing. I've never seen anything like this, the way that they're using profanity. I mean, I watched there, and five of those Democratic congresswomen or senators, and one of the males, I'm not going to call him a man, all used the F-bomb, dropped the F-bomb. Right out here in doing a news conference.
Wow.
And then some of the vulgar language that they have, it's just unbelievable. Now, they're raging because their sin has found them out. The Cyrus of today, Donald Trump, along with Elon Musk, have unearthed the nest of vipers. For far too long, their gang of jackals have been feeding off the livelihood of the American taxpayer. USAID, which was supposedly created to give aid to the poor, has become a continual source of income to the wicked elite, joining Maxine and Chucky in their Trump-Musk derangement syndrome, is none other than the queen of insider trading, and that's Nancy Pelosi, along with and with Jezebel Hordem, and of course that's Nancy Pelosi and Hillary Clinton. Among that, many, many thieves exposed feeding at the hog's trough. Politico, New York Times, and all of the number of the mainstream media, all were getting a piece of our taxpayers' dollars. This is why they're raging. They're scared to death because all of these kickbacks, and we've been telling you for years about that. Now it's coming out. Donald Trump, like Cyrus, is now in the process of destroying Babylon. The border is now closed. Joe Biden flow of little children for his fellow pedophiles has been shut down. The flow of deadly fentanyl is severely limited now. The terrorists, the murderers, the rapists, the pedophiles, and drug dealers are all being rounded up and sent home to either to their home country or to Gitmo. Sanctuary cities will lose their federal aid along with all public schools and universities that practice DEI. All agencies within the federal government will recognize only two genders now. You know, that's the way it used to be. You know, there's just two genders, male and female. There will no longer be any federal dollars allocated to trans surgeries or other trans things. Women and girls will soon have their sports back free of male competition. I just hope that they do away with women boxing. That's a pitiful, pathetic thing to watch these women box. Our military will soon be free of DEI and drag queens and trans things.
My gosh.
Along with the Obama bootlicking officers. By the way, we've made that new recruitment ad. The old recruitment ad, they showed under the Biden regime, you had these lesbians and these transgenders. This was their recruitment ad for our military. It was pathetic.
Wow.
Now they've got a real recruitment ad, the way it's supposed to be, the way it used to be. Mark Milley and Secretary General Austin should be court-martialed. John, they committed treason. Now that we have a legitimate DOJ, we need to root out all of the stay-behinds. And that's what's happening right now. There's a number of the stay-behinds within the FBI are doing everything they can to try to...
They leaked information about illegals.
Yeah.
About ICE going to get them.
Well, yeah, but
they should be
prosecuted.
Agents.
They should be, and they, but they were there. They're doing what they were left behind to do. All of Soros' prosecuting whores that were bought with U.S. That's Soros put all those attorney generals in there with USAID money, billions of dollars he spent putting all of those corrupt. And all of the black-robed whores that betrayed God and country, I'm talking about these judges that they have out there trying to stop Trump, trying to go into areas where they have no authority. And that's what they're doing now. And so as we're here, we're seeing Babylon falling. You saw that. Here they had uncovered a second plot about Iran. Iran had initially had got missiles to shut down Trump's plane. And what happened was Trump was delayed and threw them all off. And Iran, they're putting a bounty on Trump. And so, but now all of a sudden, The government over there is getting very shaky, and the people are very nervous. And now what we're hearing, we'll see what's going to happen by noon tomorrow. Trump gave them till noon on Saturday to have all of our hostages released. He wants them all released, okay? And
where is it? Which country?
In Israel.
Oh, Israel?
Gaza, yeah.
Oh, our American hostages is tomorrow at noon?
All of the Israeli. We have several American hostages in there.
Oh, Israel's as well. They got till noon tomorrow. What's the consequences if they don't deliver?
You have it in that article that I gave you. He was talking about Trump's telling, if it's not done by noon, he says all hell is going to break loose. And so now he's working with the Israeli government, and it's the Israeli government, the, what is it, ADF, John?
IFD.
Or IFD. They're the ones that's going to...
IDF, Israeli Defense
IDF.
IDF, yeah. They're the ones that's waiting and for Trump to give the word, and they're going to go, if all the hostages on both sides, they're ready to release them on both sides, aren't released, by tomorrow, Trump said very bad things are going to happen over there.
Wow. Okay?
Now, and this is a real switch up because, you know, the Israelis have their communists just like we have our communists here. They have their blue state. But even their communists are willing to go along with this in agreement. Now, that's really unusual, okay? And so all of that stuff is happening right now. So we're going to see...
This should have happened back in November of 2023, or October, excuse me. It was October, what, 7th that was the attack?
Well, if Trump had been in office, he probably would have, okay. But anyhow, all of these things are coming together now. And the opposition, right now, they don't have any leaders. And now you saw AOC is wanting to give instructions on illegal aliens, John, on how to avoid being caught by ICE. That is...
Pastor Ernie, what happened was the border czar there, Tom Holman, he referred her to the Justice Department to see if what she was doing was against the law. And that's wonderful. They are so arrogant. They've acted like they're all above the law, Pastor Ernie. And now they're being reeled in. And the governor of New York, the attorney general of New York, and the head of the motor vehicles department are all, they've already been advised they're under investigation by the Justice Department. Pam Bundy gave that notice yesterday because they have structured the law in New York to protect illegal aliens and to block the federal government from investigating illegal aliens by law in New York. So this is huge. This is huge now.
So that is tyranny, and that actually is an insurrection.
It is. They're allowing a foreign element in here who we know nothing about. They're allowing them in here who have committed all sorts of crimes, not every one of them, but that element has, and they're protecting them against the federal government. So, yes, that is a form of insurrection.
And that, Trump fired those three from FEMA who gave that $59 million to that hotel to house all of those illegals. That money was supposed to go to the homeless in North Korea, the storm victim. Okay,
North Carolina.
North Carolina, not North Korea. You know what? Under USAID, it probably would have gone to North Korea, right?
I mean, Pastor Ernie, with all that millions and millions of dollars floating around, how would you feel if you were a hotel owner in New York like that, and you were getting top dollar, maybe even more, to house illegal aliens, millions and millions? I mean, it's so easy for a kickback.
You know,
the FEMA people come in, and they're going to get millions. And on top of that, they're going to get extra millions. So if you, like, hey, we'll work this out. Now, you're going to get all this money, but, you know, I want $500,000 kickback to me.
Well, this is exactly what, you know, here, John, we've been saying about that for years. We've been talking about that, how it works, how it gets back, gets kicked back. I mean, why else would people like Senator Coons care about, where was it, where you put Sesame Street there?
In Iraq.
In Iraq. Yeah. Why would he care about spending all those millions, okay? What happens, they just come up with all these different ways.
Unreal.
And then, of course, everybody, they set it up, and then everybody gets kicked back. This is why the heathen are raging. They're raging because... They're being exposed, and, boy, there's so many of them that are involved with the kickbacks. So we're going to switch up right now.
I can't wait, Pastor Ernie, because... President Trump said he was going to name names. They were going to drop names on the people that had been doing what we're talking about. And then I'd love to see them face criminal charges for this. What justice this is, Pastor Ernie.
It looks like there's going to be some charges brought against Natisha James and Attorney Braggs, too. They've been under investigation now. So the chickens are coming home to roost, aren't they?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, and Pastor Ernie, God, every way you look at it, we've been blessed by the Lord to advance this agenda of destroying. I call it the Whore of Babylon. What's going on in America, sort of under the radar. Now, we did see quite a bit above the radar, but with all that they were promoting, homosexuality, and transgenderism, and all of that stuff all over the world, it was like we were the Whore of Babylon with corrupt tentacles all over the world, Pastor Ernie. And now the Lord's chopping it all off. All those tentacles are being chopped off, and that money's being dried up. And what all them overseas that were being corrupted by it, it's stopping now.
Well, and the amazing thing, remember what they tried to do with Trump. They wanted to put him in prison for the rest of his life, and his family too. Mm-hmm. And he fought back. And look at all the good people that that went to prison that were with him. Bannon, a number of them, they're back now.
Navarro,
these are good
people.
That's
the one I was thinking of, Navarro.
And they went after Cash Patel too. And so now. Things have turned, and the white hats are now in power. And, oh, by the way, they're going to be Merrick Garland. Merrick Garland, who refused. Yeah, he refused to turn over the tapes, the audio tapes, when Orr went in and with...
Nellie Orr?
No.
Bruce Orr?
No, the special prosecutor, the one that...
Smith.
No, I'm talking about the one who, the...
Russia hoax?
Okay. Here, let me finish this, right? The fella that questioned Joe Biden, the one that said he could, was not capable, not mentally able to...
Oh, Lou, he had a Chinese name. Lou.
No, yeah, that was, it was like, I believe it was Orr.
No,
it was something like that. Yeah, but anyhow, Merrick Garland refused to turn. He was subpoenaed twice by two different congressional committees, and he refused to turn over those. He violated the law, and they're going to go after him for doing that. Okay. They couldn't before because he would have to arrest himself, and he wouldn't do that. Remember they had the vote, and you only have one vote. We lost in Congress by one vote to have him arrested, Merrick Garland arrested by the sergeant of arms there at the Congress. Do you remember that?
Yes.
And
you
know, that one vote, the Rhino vote, was right here. Our Congress didn't hear.
Wasn't that a congressman from Ohio that did
David
that?
Joyce, he's my congressman. He's the one vote, the one Rhino vote that kept Merrick Garland from being arrested like he should have been. So, anyhow, We're going to switch up now, and we're going to play this clip about what's taking place, you know, with the Vatican, with the Pope. We've been telling you for a long time that this Pope is a communist, okay? And now many Catholic people are really upset with him, and Mel Gibson is going to be discussing this with Joe Rogan. And so I'm very careful. I don't hardly ever put Rogan on because Rogan's got he loves to use profanity, okay? But there's no profanity in this one. And so go ahead, Josh, and take her away.
Francis and the Catholic Church have a lot of flaws in the ways that they run things and display Christianity to the rest of the world. Mel Gibson was just on Joe Rogan's podcast and pointed out a lot of these major flaws. What happens with Rome and the Vatican plays a huge role in how the events in the world and the future prophecies will unfold. It's been rumored recently that Pope Francis was going to step down, but as of today, we see Pope Francis issues health update as he rules out stepping down. Revelation 17 talks about Mystery Babylon, the mother of harlots, of the abominations of the earth. We'll see how the Vatican and Rome fits into this prophecy very well as we listen to Mel Gibson explain to Joe Rogan some of the very strange things taking place within the Vatican and the Catholic Church. Mel and Joe talk a little bit about how strange the Vatican is and just the fact that it's a country within the city of Rome. We'll listen to a little bit of this and just point out how this could fit in with one of the verses in Revelation 17.
And, you know, it's a very small country. It's a country.
Yeah, it's a country inside of a small city.
Yeah.
Because Rome's not the biggest city.
No.
And then it's got a country inside the city.
Yeah.
With walls around it.
Sure.
And you can't extradite people.
Yeah, pretty weird.
How convenient.
Revelation 17 again describes Mystery Babylon and the mother of harlots, the abominations that take place in the earth in end times prophecy, and the Vatican is really the only institution on the earth at the moment that fits this description so well. We hear that the woman is arrayed in purple and scarlet, adorned with gold and precious stones and pearls, having in her hand a golden cup full of abominations and the filthiness of her fornication. In verse 9, we have a specific reference that highlights Rome being part of this prophecy that, again, no other place on the earth fits this category. Here is the mind which has wisdom. The seven heads are seven mountains on which the woman sits. The most well-known place on the earth at the moment that is referred to as the place known as the City of Seven Hills is Rome, where the Vatican is located. Now let's listen to Mel Gibson describe some of the terrible things that the Catholic Church has done in recent years, and then we'll look at some video clips of those actual events.
They took the church and they reformed it, and they changed things in it. And it didn't necessarily agree with everything that went before it.
Mm.
And up to that point, yeah, you could find it agreed with itself. But all of a sudden, you got something else. To the point where now, I mean, we got a pope that brought a South American idol into the church to worship.
Really?
He did. The Pachamama. He bought the South American, and he got...
I don't know what that is.
It's kind of like a South American god, Pachamama.
Why would he do that?
Good question. But he did.
Did he have an explanation for why he did it?
Yeah, it's kind of a weasel-worded thing of like, oh, all religions are just as good as one another. But
before we look at what took place with the bringing in of this false South American idol into the Vatican, this is something that Pope Francis is kind of well-known for lately. He does this on a regular occasion. Talks about how different religions all lead to the same God, and there's multiple paths to God. He did this very recently in one of his trips to Singapore.
Tutte le religioni sono un cammino per arrivare a Dio.
Because every religion is a way to arrive at God.
Sono, dirò una comparazione, sono come diverse lingue, diverse idiomi per arrivare lì.
Sort of a comparison and an example would be they're sort of like different languages in order to arrive at God.
Now, all religions do not lead to God. And even Joe Rogan, someone who is not even a professing Christian, understands that the Pope should really only stand on the side of Catholicism or Christianity, not being welcoming of all these other religions, saying they lead to God.
You know, if that's his contention,
he shouldn't be the Pope.
No.
I mean, how can you be the Pope if you say all religions are just as good?
Yeah, we all worship, you know.
There's verse after verse told to us in the Word of God saying that Jesus Christ is the only way to get to God and to get to heaven. Of course, John 14:6, Jesus says he is the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through him. John 3:36, whoever believes in the Son has eternal life. Whoever does not obey the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God remains on him. And we have verse after verse proclaiming this same absolute truth, and it's pretty sad that the vicar of Christ, the supposed representation of Christ on the earth, won't even profess that Jesus is the only way to heaven. Clearly he doesn't believe this. And clearly he doesn't believe or teach the truth of the Bible.
So, yeah, that's the Pachamama. There you go.
So he brought that in.
Did you know that you can create a fully...
Yeah, into the Vatican. Then the hierarchy even worshipped, they had a ceremony around it outside.
What?
So, well, that constitutes apostasy.
Yeah.
That's an apostasy move, all right?
Worshipping false gods.
Yeah. That's number one on the Mosaic hit list.
You know?
Moses goes up on the mountain, he comes back down, people are worshiping a golden calf.
Yeah.
You know, it's that.
Yeah.
So you can't do that.
Yes. Well, several years ago, Pope Francis issued a document called Laudato Si, and it's about the environment and preserving the environment, and it's sort of led up to this meeting in Rome of the Pope and bishops and cardinals that he selected called the Amazon Synod. And it was studying pastoral issues in the Amazonian region in South America. But it became kind of a scandalous situation because these statues, these idols, were brought in for liturgical worship. It all began on the opening ceremonies in the Vatican Gardens, where they had a female shaman, and they brought in two of these statues, and they had everyone bowing down to them while the Pope sat on the side. And the media all over the world and Catholics everywhere who watched the opening ceremony thought, this is very odd. It looks like idolatry. It looks like a golden calf situation. And then throughout the remaining 2 to 3 weeks, these idols were placed in St. Peter's, by the altar of St. Peter's, and in a church called Santa Maria Traspotina, which is very near the Vatican. In a way, it was kind of an embarrassment to the Pope and to the Vatican because everyone was asking for clarity. Who are, you know, is this supposed to be the Virgin Mary? Is it St. Elizabeth? And they said, no, it's not. It's a symbol of life, fertility, and Mother Earth.
2 Thessalonians 2:1-3 prophesies that there will be a great falling away from the faith in the last days. And this could be very well in regards to the many Catholics who believe in Jesus Christ, but when they listen to the vicar of Christ, the Pope, talk about how Jesus isn't the only way to heaven and bringing false idols into the Vatican, well, that can definitely lead to a falling away.
And for me, that's a departure from what that's called apostasy.
Right.
It's a falling away from, and the very nature of apostasy means that you have to be part of it to fall away from it.
Mm-hmm.
So it's an inside job.
Now, brethren, concerning the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ and our gathering together to him, we ask you not to be soon shaken in mind or troubled, either by spirit or by word or by letter, as if from us, as though the day of Christ had come. Let no one deceive you by any means, for that day will not come unless the falling away comes first and the man of sin is revealed, the son of perdition. Many people believe that Pope Francis is the Antichrist or the potential false prophet. There's a lot of even different Catholic prophecies that point to him being some sort of corrupt pope. We have the prophecy of the last pope, the prophecy of the two popes, and different prophecies from the Catholic saints saying that a corrupt pope will be the head of the Vatican before the last days unfolds on the earth. And while it pretty clearly appears that Pope Francis is teaching Antichrist beliefs to the masses, This has been a common theme with Pope Francis since he has been the Pope. He has diminished the importance of Jesus Christ, who is the only way to God, the only way to heaven, and welcomed in all these other religions under this one love type of ideology, saying they all lead to the same God, which is Antichrist and not true whatsoever in any way. This happened a few years back at the Vatican when they welcomed in more people from South American tribes at a Christmas event where they actually prayed to the false idol Mother Earth, saying that she provides everything for us and is our creator. This is absolute blasphemy. Anyone who believes the Bible believes that God is the creator of the earth and all of creation.
So what do you think, there's a motive behind these things?
I don't think you well probably
The only explanation for such corruption and very clear blasphemy being brought into the Catholic Church is that it's some sort of plan, some sort of destruction to lead people away from the truth of Jesus Christ across the entire earth. Pope John Paul VI said in the 70s, "We would say that through some mysterious crack." No, it's not mysterious. Through some crack, the smoke of Satan has entered the Church of God. There's doubt, uncertainty, problems, unrest, dissatisfaction, confrontation. Seeing the abominations that the Catholic Church has allowed to take place and the Antichrist teachings promoted by the Pope himself shows that some sort of evil is trying to take over the Catholic Church and lead people away from the truth of Jesus, and it seems absolutely like it's some coordinated plan by the evil realm, and Mel Gibson and Joe Rogan touch on this fact as well.
What do you think it is?
I don't know. But it isn't good. I think, look, I think we're looking at a world where, and this is the, in the next film I'm going to do, I'm going to try and tackle this question, that there are big realms, spiritual realms. There's good, there's evil, and they are slugging it out for the souls of mankind.
Alrighty. Alright, we're gonna stop it right there. And here, you know, it's an interesting thing, John, because here I remember the Pope said that, humanly speaking, Jesus failed at Calvary. If Christ had failed at Calvary, how much hope would any of us have? There'd be no hope, okay? It'd be all over, okay? But then he said, personally, he didn't think that there was a hell, that there was any such thing as hell, okay? Today, one of the false teachings is really gaining momentum now is that everybody goes to heaven. Everybody goes to heaven, that there is no, repentance is not necessary. And so, and, you know, it's just amazing. And then, of course, we all heard the stories, what's happening, what's coming out of the Vatican. Now, it's not just the Roman Catholic Church by any means. The apostasy is back. Do you remember back in, was it 76, 77, where they were having the conferences where between the Roman Catholic Church, Vatican, and the World and National Council of Churches?
Was that the Vatican too?
No, they wanted to merge, okay? I'm trying to remember. They were talking about merging. They were talking about also setting up the moving the headquarters to Israel, okay? Do you remember that, John?
Yes, I do, Pastor Ernie, and a lot of the, quote, Protestant churches signed on to it.
Yeah, I know. And so Robert Schuller was one of those big promoters of that. Remember him? Cathedral.
The Crystal Cathedral.
Yeah. Well, you've had many of the apostate church, the World and National Council Church, the Episcopalian, the United Church of Christ, most of your Methodists, your Lutheran, and those that have Baptists in their name that aren't Baptists. Only about 10% of those that actually have Baptists in their name are actually Baptists. The others are not. They're Protestant. They're all Protestant churches, but the apostasy is great, and they're all going to be a part. It's not just the Roman Catholic Church. The great whore is a conglomeration. And I remember back in 2015 in Salt Lake City, Utah, where they had the World Council of Religions, when they met, and the Pope addressed them, and it was this very same Pope. He addressed them, and he said, if we're ever going to have our one world government, we have to have our one world church, okay? And that's what he was talking about. Remember at that time, later on, you had Rick Warren promoting Chrislam.
Oh, remember? Yeah. And, yes, Pastor Ernie, yeah. They wanted to agree on morality and other things, but Jesus had to be left out that he was the Son of God.
Yeah.
That's kind of an important fact.
To unify with Islam, he had to deny Christ.
Yeah. And so, that's basically what he did when he said Christ had failed at Calvary. That's denying Christ, denying who he is. Because God doesn't
fail. Ernie, I have a question for you. We were just talking a few minutes ago about that ecumenicalism where there was a whole bunch of churches that were kind of lined up to join the Catholic Church. Do you remember that?
Well, that was the big discussion, if you remember, was who was going to be in charge. Was it going to be the World International Council of Churches, or was it going to be the Vatican? That was, remember, they wanted, each one was trying to get the other to join them to make the one world church. And
I forget what happened, but it petered out. I remember it didn't. There was a lot of talk, and then nothing happened. So I couldn't remember, you know, at the end why nothing happened. So now I understand from what you just said.
Yeah, they couldn't agree, as far as I could see, who was going to be sitting on the throne, if you will.
Is it true the World Council of Churches was started by the Soviet Union?
I would probably say yeah. You have. If you go back, to the socialist gospel, you know, that with Mudelman and Ernst Bloch, okay, that started. I remember, well, actually, the World Council Church started before that, but they brought in the, we call it the social gospel, but I'm trying to think of the other name for it that we,
Liberal theology?
Liberation theology. It was called liberation theology, yeah. And that, I remember when that started, and they brought in, and of course the Roman Catholic Church was a big part of that, especially there in Central and South America, liberation theology. What they did, it was... John, do you remember that where they wanted to, they took the teachings of Jesus and the teachings of Karl Marx and they tried to marry the two and come up called liberation theology. Karl Marx was a Satanist. He was a practicing Satanist. And, how much light can fellowship have with darkness? What has Christ to do with Belial? Okay. And then,
that was really big in, like, especially Central America, I'll say in the 80s, Pastor Ernie, that liberation theology. That was nothing more than like communist socialism cloaked in a form of Christianity.
Yeah, well, they were actually, back during that time, you had the Santa Maria and you had these cults, satanic cults, were down there in Central South America within the Catholic Church where they would have their voodoo rituals right during the Catholic Church, right during the service, and where they would cut the throats of chickens and drain the blood, and I mean that they incorporated that there, and of course again that was the Communist Party. I remember because right at the time when I was there, you had a number of nuns, where you had that big outbreak, the shootings, and what happened? These nuns, they were carrying Uzis under their habits or whatever. Okay, these weren't Catholic nuns; they were actually communist. In fact,
wow.
I went into one. I preached at an apostate church. They asked me to come and preach the pro-life message, and they were apostate. They were as can be. And when I went in there, the revolution that they were these revolutionary church, and in the track racks they had tracks, and they had Jesus wearing gun belts and a bandana, okay, as a communist rebel, okay? And so, you know, and that's what you've had. But remember, that actually started, if you go all the way back, that Presbyterian preacher, and I wish I could remember his name. You might remember him in New York City. He was, he tried to expose the communism moving into the church. And at that time, the World International Council of
Churches. Was that Kennedy?
No, it was. This goes back. Oh, he was back in the '60s, but I remember we did programs back in the '70s of that. But he exposed it, and the fellow that was involved, you might remember, with the Naked Communist. In that book, we had him on the radio program. Okay. But yeah, that's when the communism infiltrated, you know, within not just the Catholic Church, but you know, that's where that liberation theology started. And then back, I remember very clearly, back in the mid '60s when that Enlightenment movement came in from Germany. That was a part of that. That was an addition. And I remember it started to get involved in your evangelical, your knee here in this country. But it kind of got caught and got exposed. That's that point where, remember, they were teaching that the pastors had to get in touch with their feminine parts, okay? Mm. And, yeah, this was the feminization of the pulpit. That was a big part of, you know, of that. But so that's what we're looking at. I'm going to be doing some programs in the near future on a lot of this, going back and taking another look at this, where it all started. And so, in fact, that book, that bag of books that you have there, that's exactly what that's all about. Okay. And I'm going to have the author on with me. Okay, so we're going to be coming up to a break. When we come back for the break, we got a whole lot more. So don't go away, folks. It's a lot more to cover tonight. And so, and then we'll, you know what we'll do, we'll open the phone lines and take some calls too. So getting ready, we're having a countdown. We're down to about 5 seconds, and now we're down to about 3 seconds, and now we'll be back right after this.
Thank you for listening to What's Right, What's Left, the voice of the Christian resistance.